Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Did you ever ask the question, what is this all about? I mean, God created the universe. He created earth. He created man on earth. In his likeness, in his image, he created us. But then we fail. We sinned in the garden, remember? But he sent his son to save us. And why did he do that? It's so important that God has called us to do more than just go to church or just be saved. He has a journey and a destiny for us. As a matter of fact, let's take a look.
I am going to introduce you to the gospel right now. You are a rebel. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, I'll tell you straight up. You are a rebel against the living God. This is your natural disposition. Why? Because you are born in sin. We are in a prison cell. And it takes the awakening and the grace of God, you call it the prevenient grace of God, to awaken us to the fact that we are lost and we can't get out. We're headed towards destruction. Fast. The enemy, because of our rebellion against God, has legal rights to harm and harass our life. There you are behind the prison cell. Help! I need out! You can't get out. Those prison bars are stronger than any adamant. There is no way you can cut them because they're stronger than diamond. It is impenetrable. You cannot escape. You're doomed, because when the enemy comes in the very end, and he's going to finish you off, because he has legal right to do it, and he's going to relish every minute of it. In strolls your intercessor, your mighty man, and he stands between you and that accuser, and he takes the hit that was rightfully yours. He takes the blow that was intended for you. That is an extraordinary reality, that he was turned to a pulp and he actually died. God died for you. Over your prison cell, it has always said condemned, separated eternally from God, guilty. And then suddenly it switches. When you realize what Jesus Christ has done, it says justified. It says forgiven, redeemed. Here's the problem. Most of us have stopped with the good news right there. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed and he was killed. Now, I want you to know that is unbelievable news. But we are still in a prison cell. And so we're praising God from within a prison cell, going, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for changing the sign on the outside of the prison. And God's word says, could you check the door to the prison cell? Because my blood was shed for more than just forgiveness. Forgiveness was the avenue through which he could make the escape for us. He isn't just interested in dealing with the consequences or the penalty of sin. He's also dealt with the problem of sin. Test the door. It's unlocked. The door to the prison cell is unlocked. Walk out. Smell the open air of freedom and liberty in the life of Jesus Christ. When you get outside the prison cell, there's like this chariot that's waiting. Emissaries from the king, and they say the king beckons you into his presence. You know how bizarre this is when you realize that you were a rebel? That you were undeserving completely? The living God has literally given up his life for you, and now he has set you free, and now the very king is beckoning you into his presence. It's like, are you sure you have the right guy here? I'm a rebel. I stood against my God. I spat in his face. How could he want me? The king beckons you. You get in the chariot. And as you're pulling into the kingdom, you're looking for where they might drop you off. You're looking for that poor district. You're saying, where are you taking me? Well, into the very near presence of the king. He wants you to live right where he lives. Not just the penalty, not just the problem, but an invitation into his very near presence. But as you're coming in, the emissaries say, he wants to adopt you as his child. Me? His child? We are brought in and invited near to share his heart. You come into his presence, totally broken before the reality of what he has done for you. I don't deserve this. Why have you done this for me? I love you. I have a commission for you. For me? You want to have me work for you? I want you to work for me. I want you to represent me. Absolutely. Anything I can do for you, just tell me. I need you to go back to that prison cell that I took you out of, because there's a whole bunch more that need to know about me and my love and my truth. Will you go for me? In a heartbeat, I would gladly serve you any way you want, any way you ask. I need to forewarn you. I'm going to send you out, and you'll be as a sheep among wolves. They'll kill you. They'll destroy you. They'll hate you. They'll persecute you. They will do whatever they can to harm you. I'm in. I'll do it, God. I don't care. You shed your blood for me. I would gladly shed my blood for you. Take my body. Take my blood. Spend it any way you want. I belong to you in covenant. Take me, Lord Jesus. Send me the commission, not just the penalty, not just the problem, not just the invitation into his very near presence, not just the adoption as a son and a daughter of the King of Kings, but we are commissioned to represent him. And I want you to realize that is a privilege beyond all other privileges, to bear the very name, the very image, the very reputation of God Almighty. And he says, I ask you to go. Go and make disciples of all men. Go and be unashamed of my gospel and preach it. Go rescue the lost in the power of my name. For is not the Lamb that was slain worthy to receive the reward of his suffering? I'll go. And as you're beginning to head out with his blessing, he says, hold it. Wait, there's one more thing. Not just the penalty, not just the problem, not just the invitation to his very near presence, not just the adoption as a son or a daughter of the king, and not just the commission. This is the capstone. If you think that is all good, you could wrap that all up into one ball and it still falls short of the final one. Because this final one is so condescending on the part of our king. It is so bewildering. It is so extraordinary, so amazing. And this is the truth that turns the world upside down. Before you go, what I'm sending you out to do is impossible. I know. Impossible. And if you do it in your own strength, you'll fail. I don't care. I'm willing to do whatever you ask of me. And if you want me to go in there and just die, I'm willing. I'm sending you out to be a victor. My children will not lose. Would you give me your body? And I will come in and make it my home. And I will take those hands of yours and make them my hands. I will take those feet of yours and make them my feet. I will take that mouth of yours and it will speak my words. I will take those eyes of yours and they can now see what I need you to be seen in this world. And I will take your heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh so that it will beat with my burdens and you will care for the very things that I care about. And your prayers will become my prayers. And your life and your attitude and your behavior every minute of every day will be the very behavior of God. Will you allow me to overtake your life? Because then we go into this world as little lambs with the faces of lions. Because the living God Almighty, the consuming, almighty, sovereign God dwells within his children. And as we stand and the wolf pack surrounds us, we stand in the authority in the name of Jesus, and we will not back down. Because we do not head off to war to lose. We head off to war to win. Our God mocks all the powers of earth and hell through fluffy little lambs, because his lambs beat the wolf packs. That's the gospel. The gospel trounces upon all the powers of earth and hell and demonstrates to the universe the manifold wisdom of God, that he is in control. And even though we look weak, and even though physically and naturally we are weak, spiritually, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. That is good your own. You don't have to pull off the impossible on your own. You don't have to fail any longer. Your God is ready to do it in and through you. You can't do it. You can't muster up the discipline. You can't muster up the intellect. You can't muster up the strength. You can't muster up the perseverance and the fortitude. He can. You can't love the lost. You can't love those that spit upon your face. He can. Don't pray that God would teach you how to love like he loves. Pray that he would fill you with himself and he would love in and through you. Don't pray that he would teach you to have joy. Pray that the living God full of joy would enter into you. Don't pray that he would teach you how to be peaceful. Ask for the God of peace, the Prince of Peace, to infill you. Because if you try and imitate in your own strength, you will be a miserable replica. But if you allow the impartation of Jesus Christ to overtake you, suddenly it all works because it's him imitating himself, and he's very good at being God.
You ask the question, why are we doing what we're doing? Why VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Why the VFN Dream Center? Why the Apostolic Club? Why a church planting movement? How can we not give God everything for what he's done for us? I want to challenge you. Are you just stuck in some place? In this place that he said at the very beginning, he said, most people stop here. Are you ready to stand up and fight the good fight of faith? Begin to stand up and preach the gospel, to be unashamed of Jesus Christ, to be a news broadcaster, to be in Vine Fellowship Network University, to be a part of the Dream Center, to be a part of a church planting network. I don't know, maybe an intern, as a VFN TV intern. This is what we must do for him that did everything for us, Jesus Christ. What else do we have left but to give him our lives? Dwight Howard, after the break, join us.
We'll be right back.
There's been an overemphasis on faith to the point that we sort of sometimes throw our chest out. Faith in God's mercy just requires just a teeny, teeny bit of faith. But it's not your faith, it's his mercy that gets it done. This ought to take a load off your shoulders. If you come up against something that's overwhelming, if you come up against something that's threatening, don't necessarily worry about your faith, worry about his mercy. His mercy endures forever. There's nothing inherent in us that makes us good enough to receive the mercy of God. It is a gift of God. His mercy is on you right now while I'm speaking. There's somebody at home right now, the Holy Spirit is showing me that something has happened to you and it looks like your life is going to be a lot more difficult in the oncoming days, and you have the breath knocked out of you. But the Lord sent me here this morning to tell you it's not going to get more complicated, it's going to get better.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
The key to a healthy marriage is to keep your eyes wide open before you wed and half closed thereafter.
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
Last year, there were close to 2.5 million divorces in the United States. And part of the problem is the tendency for young men and women to marry virtual strangers. Oh, I know a typical couple talks for countless hours before the courtship period, and they believe they know each other. But a dating relationship is designed to conceal information, not reveal it. Consequently, the bride and groom often enter into marriage with an array of private opinions about how life will be lived after the wedding, and the stage is set for major problems. For this reason, I strongly believe that each engaged couple should participate in at least 6 to 10 sessions with a competent marriage counselor in order to identify the assumptions that each partner holds and to work through areas of potential conflict. Some couples discover through this process that they have major problems that hadn't surfaced until then, and they agree to either postpone or call off the wedding. Others work through their conflicts and proceed toward marriage with increased confidence. Premarital counseling is the key. If the tragedy of divorce could be reduced by even 5%, it would certainly be worth the effort.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wasn't that so powerful? That was so powerful. That's, you missed the early amazing part of this program. You know, why are we doing what we're doing? And it's not for religion reasons.
No.
It's not because trying to pay some temple tax or something. Mm-mm. I mean, it's an awesome God who loves us so much that gave his life for us, that invited us out of captivity, freed us, brought us into his presence, adopted us as sons and daughters, commissioned us to go forth in God to be able to have this one moment described as a vapor of time, to be able to show ourselves, show the glory that he deserves, and bringing glory to him in our lives.
Yes.
And it's like,
it's the only natural response to a ransomed person.
It is.
It's the only natural response. What can I do?
Yeah.
It's our privilege. It's our privilege to serve him and to give him our lives, every single thing, and leave nothing in the field of life. But Lord, what can I do for you?
And you think about it, because this life is so short. You realize the longer it goes, the shorter it is. But eternity is not short.
Mm.
So this is this thing that keeps speeding up and going faster and faster called time. We got to force time to be in compliance with our destiny. I mean, to be fruitful and to multiply and to do everything God's called you to do. Don't get all caught up in the religious conversations. Don't get caught up in the worldly conversations. Mm. And by the grace of God, you know, go forward and say, you know what? I want to do something for him who did something for me. You know, maybe VFN's for you, the VFN Dream Center. It is a hub of a church planting network with VFNU, with a VFN internship, with a VFN television. There's so many ways to get involved. Go to your pastor. Maybe your pastor is just saying, you know what? I would love for you to come awake and come alive. There's something for you to do here. But just to get active and eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by doing what's right today, because we'll have eternity to talk about what we did or we didn't do. And it makes me think about...
Well, you can go to VFNTV.com and get all the information, but we want to hear from you. This is your chance. Tomorrow's written in a fool's calendar. Yeah. All we have is today, so you want to act now.
Yes, most definitely. And it makes me think of Dwight Howard. I think he was 17 when he got recruited into the NBA. And imagine being 17 and all this wealth and things come your way. But his testimony, you got to hear his testimony here, is he's talking about, you know, his heart was to be able to bring his faith and his testimony to the NBA. And of course, we all have these great commitments in the beginning, but then we have to face life struggles. But our testimony becomes more authentic as we go through life struggle. And it's amazing. It's like we're a little bit more, you know, a little fluffier around the rough edge.
We'll be right back.
How do I love my enemies?
I think that love begins with the common human experience that we all have. And I think that the loving your enemy gets down to the basic human issues: air, water, lights, food, family, basic human essentials. At least let's love on the level that we exist, and then debate on the level that we think. But we have lost all respect and civility. And I think that it comes back to just respecting people because God made them. Mm-hmm. And how can you say you love God who you have not seen and hate that is a reflection that he created? You cannot worship him up there while you resent him right here.
Our Father in heaven, Hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
Deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and glory,
forever and ever.
Throughout the 19th century and early 20th century, newspapers regularly printed sermons, even citing the Bible in political commentary.
Lincoln Mullen, a historian at Virginia's George Mason University, has developed America's Public Bible, biblical quotations in U.S. newspapers, using a computer program that finds and tracks biblical quotations in pages of old newspapers.
In 1876, the verse in 1 Samuel 3:4 that says, "The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am,' kept turning up in newspapers. Mullen discovered that Samuel Tilden was running for president that year and using 'The Lord called Samuel' as part of his campaign slogan."
Mullen has uncovered 866,000 biblical quotations in nearly 11 million newspaper pages in the Library of Congress's Chronicling America collection alone.
Engage with the Bible in new ways.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
We'll be right back.
Listen now to Dwight Howard with the NBA. Give his testimony.
Over the past 12 seasons, few players have been more dominant inside the paint than Houston Rockets' Dwight Howard. The eight-time All-Star entered the league, the first overall pick in the 2004 NBA draft, fresh out of high school.
Coming into the league, you had a mission. What was the mission?
My mission was to preach God's word, you know, in the NBA, use the NBA as a platform for God.
But for a 19-year-old entering the NBA, Dwight says it was a daily struggle to stay focused on God.
There was times where it was very overwhelming, where it's like, man, this is so much, and everything is at my disposal. You know, all I gotta do is just go reach, and it's mine.
In 9 seasons with the Magic, Dwight became a 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, made 6 All-Star Game appearances, and became the franchise's all-time leading scorer. But with success came temptation, and in 2007, he became a father and wasn't married, and he took a lot of heat because of it.
If you're a professional athlete, you come out and tell the world, hey, I'm a Christian. For some reason, for people that don't quite understand what that means, all of a sudden believe that you can't make mistakes.
That is correct. When I came out, you know, I want everybody to know that I am a man of faith. I believe in God, and I will always believe in Him. And, you know, the minute I messed up, the minute I sinned, everybody took a shot at me. Hey, you're supposed to be a Christian. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins, you know? So if He's willing to forgive us, why can't we forgive each other?
Towards the end of the 2012 season, rumors of friction between him, his coach, and teammates began to brew.
Everybody made me look like the worst guy in the world, a coach killer, a guy who hates his teammates, a cancer, all this stuff that I'm not.
Then in August, Dwight was traded to the Lakers. There, it was difficult for him to play at a high level because he still needed time to heal from surgery.
You know, I'm trying to play, but I'm still not 100%, you know? And I was getting demolished for that. Ah, he's not playing hard enough. He can't dunk anymore. He can't do this. And I'm like, God, why do I have to go through this? But he said, just keep going, you know, just stay strong.
When the season concluded, Dwight was a free agent and decided to leave Los Angeles and sign with the Rockets. And that didn't go over well with Laker fans.
And now everybody hates me again. I'm like, oh my God, like God, like please just do something. And you know, he said, listen, man, if the whole world hates you, I love you. Always remember that. You know, so I was like, okay. And I just tried to put away all the hate and everything like that and just focus on my relationship with him.
Now Dwight is in his third season with Houston. Make no mistake about it, he wants to win. He's just working hard to remember his true calling.
Oh, wow. I mean, I just remember, you know, this whole, like it was yesterday. Wow.
When you look at that guy, how is that guy in that newspaper shot different from the guy I'm sitting across from right now?
Well, I would say this guy in the newspaper is full of life. No care in the world, no worry. It's a young kid who didn't know anything about the world. And then the guy that's in front of you, it's a guy who's seen, heard, been around, been through a lot of different situations. And if I was to go back and tell the guy in this picture right here, I would say never let nothing steal your joy, because you're going to go through hell.
That's a lesson Dwight had to learn the hard way. And today, his mission is still the same.
When I'm on the floor, you know, let people see, you know, the God in me, you know, whether that be me having fun, blocking a shot and smiling, dunking and smiling, whatever it may be, but just having fun and playing with peace and joy.
What has Jesus Christ meant to you?
Man, just like my rock, you know what I'm saying? My foundation. When things are going wrong, when, you know, I'm at a bad place, when I sin, you know, I feel like he's there. He's my foundation. Like, he hurts when I sin, but instead of him turning his back on me, it's like, hey, come back. I still love you. I'm not gonna leave. I'm here for you. We connected forever, you know, so that's what he is.
So you think about that's awesome, and that testimony is just powerful, isn't it? And yeah, he's come through the fire, yeah. And he's still honoring God, and it's just, it's exciting to see athletes who stand up. I think about Tim Tebow.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.